In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius Loyola.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'll turn on the...
So at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was a sick call. And the sick call was to a Franciscan monastery to visit someone who was dying. So the priest was a Franciscan who had a vow of poverty. We all have three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Had to travel on foot through a difficult part of town, through a dark alley. So he was heading through the alley trying to find the tenement where the sick, dying person was present. He felt in his back a sharp piece of metal, and it was a thief that actually pressed a gun into his back and said, "Your money or your life." So the Franciscan said, "Sorry, I don't have any money because I have a vow of poverty. I don't have any." And this is right in the middle of Lent, So he's pressing the gun into his side and he said, "Your money or your life." Franciscan said, "I don't have any money," but he pulled out of his pocket, he pulled out a Milky Way bar and said, "If you want, you can have this Milky Way bar." The thief said, "Thanks, Father. No, I gave that up for Lent." Heard another story of this. It was the birthday of a wife. She married about 40 years, and over the past 10 years, she was somewhat portly, as we say in New York, pleasantly plump. She put on a little bit of weight. But she really loved sports cars. She was already in her 70s. She loved sports cars. So she's begging her husband for her birthday to give her something very special. Hopefully for a Maserati. Not an Eldorado. Or Datsun 240Z. So her birthday arrived, and she saw on the table a little note that said, "Honey, happy birthday. I bought you a gift in the garage that can go from zero," I want something to go from zero to 150 in 10 seconds. And he wrote from zero to 250 in 2 seconds. So she opened up the garage door and there was a scale. I thought you'd like that one, huh? Did you ever hear the story of the Fulton Sheen story of the three drunks in the mezzanine in New York?
No.
Well, the three drunks in the mezzanine in New York. Mezzanine means the,
outside part?
Basically the lowest part. And they were drunk, the three of them. So the owner of the hotel was a very kind man. He said, okay, we'll give you a free night's rest in an apartment on the 60th floor. In New York, probably, in New York you have some skyscrapers. But their only problem is that the elevator is not working. So you're going to have to climb the 60 stores. So the three agreed to do that. And there was a realist, jokester, and a pessimist. So as they started walking, they said to the realist, tell us some real stories. So he told them some stories for about first 20 stories. And then the comedian came in after the 20th and was telling a lot of jokes up to the 40th floor. But they still had another 20 to go. So they're walking up, they're going up and up and up and up and up. They told the pessimist, well, tell us a sad story. Nothing. 50th floor, tell us a sad story. Nothing. 55 stories. Tell us a sad story. So finally arrived at the 60th story. Tell us a sad story. And he said, I forgot the key to the door. Don't forget, I got my degree in English and philosophy and theology and jokeology. Good deal. Okay, so last week I was in Orlando and then Vero Beach giving a mission, thanks be to God, for a really good group of people. And you had the talk on the preparation for General Confession, right, Eric? So, good. This coming weekend, God willing, starting on Friday, we will have that available, right, Mary?
Yes.
And we'll have probably the sign-up sheets
Friday and Saturday,
so you can make your general confession. So this week I'll be praying for you. Say thank you, Father.
Okay.
That all of you will make the best confession in your life. This is, in a certain sense, the apex or the high point of this program is really that. So it's kind of been building up to that crescendo where you're able to make this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful confession and start a new life. And no better time to make this than in the very heart of Lent. So you really chose a great time to be able to do these exercises. I'd like to say one more word on the topic and then we'll move into the sixth week of our exercises. And over the past year, this thought is a recurrent, I'd have to say, inspiration, because I believe it's an inspiration. And it's a source of great consolation for me, and it will be for you. Can you hear me in the back?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just make sure. The best talk in the world is where the hill of beans if the people can't hear you, right? So I'd like to just briefly go through what a plenary indulgence is. Okay. 99% of the people that I give talks to have either never heard of it or they don't know what it is. Okay, so I heard this on Relevant Radio, Father Matthew, probably about 2 months ago, and he told a story that was related to this. He didn't mention the word explicitly, but he did implicitly, and it's this. There was a convent of nuns, had a couple of nuns here, convent of nuns, and one of the nuns was I mean, she was a good nun, but she wasn't, you know, really that good. It was kind of a, you know what I mean? In between, kind of good, but not really that good. In that category, you know, from 0 to 10, maybe 7.5, or a C+ or B-, no? In other words, she didn't seem to really radiate holiness at all. But, and then she died, and Mother Superior asked the grace to know where she was. So Jesus appeared and said, I'll tell you, she went right to heaven. Now, in the talk, Father Matthew said this, is because she took advantage of what the church offers. Okay, some of you understand, so others who are still kind of foggy, I'll try to explain it with greater precision. Okay, to receive a plenary indulgence means, if you receive that, all of your sins are forgiven, as well as temporal punishment due to the sins. Now, for example, if you come to confession to me, or any priest, I give you absolution, you're sorry, your sins are forgiven. But the temporal punishment, which means the time you might have to spend in purgatory, doesn't mean you get that when I give you absolution. In other words, you may have to spend more time in repairing for the damage. Got that? So there's forgiveness, and there's also forgiving of temporal punishment due. Now the plenary indulgence does both. Both forgiveness and the temporal punishment is forgiven, which means it's like being born again. You start with a new slate. And if you're to die, you go right to heaven. You like that? Okay, I'll give you the five conditions. But if you don't carry out the five conditions, you're not going to receive it. With Mary and Eric, I'm going to try to write a new page to our program. We're just going to give you that out. But we haven't done the work. We keep adding to the program as we get inspirations. If you like, it's kind of like this. Friday, say, after this talk, in the catechetical office, there's a huge recipient of countless diamonds. And every diamond is worth $5 million. You can go and grab as many as you want. Would you grab them? Would you?
Yes.
Of course. So the church has a treasury. It's called the indulgences, which come from the death of Christ on the cross. His passion, death, and resurrection. It's called the Paschal Mystery. And we just have to dig in and receive it. It's free of charge, but we have to understand what we have to do to receive this extraordinary gift. Number one, got to go to confession. That's what you're doing this weekend. The newcomers on the block, okay? Going to make the best confession in your life. As Eric probably said, you know, most of the people prepare, you know, good 4 hours usually to prepare for this life-changing event. And as I get older, I really feel called more and more to promote the general confession. In Vero Beach, I was just there a short time with another priest. We heard about 16 hours of general confessions, me and one other priest. No? It's a lot, no? In addition to the mass they said and the holy hour and the talks that I gave, I spent just a good block of time just hearing general confessions. No? Most of these people were more elderly. Vero Beach is basically the retired professional. It was a pretty upper scale area in Florida. But well-formed people. Suffering because of their children like you also. No? Okay, so the first is a good is a good confession. Do it well. The best in your life. Second is you got to go to Mass and receive communion with fervor. Very fervent communion. Not an anemic or lackadaisical, but a very fervent communion. Receive communion as if it were your first, your last, and your only, right? Got that?
Yes.
It's really not complicated. Once I go through the five steps, you'll probably have it memorized. It's pretty simple. Third is you have to carry out an act, an indulgence action that allows you for the plenary indulgence. So there are certain actions that you have to do to receive. And I'll give you three or four of them. Okay, one would be meditating upon the Bible a half hour. You're doing it, you're meditating already an hour and a half every day, right? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, you're no longer doing an hour, you're doing an hour and a half, right? Don't say in 5 days, no? Well, you're at least doing an hour, I hope, by now. Okay?
Yes,
should be.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, if this were not this program, then you pray the rosary. This is another option. Don't have to do all of them, but you pray the rosary. But the rosary has to be prayed in this way, either in front of the Blessed Sacrament or prayed in your family. The church wants us to foster family prayer. Either in front of the Blessed Sacrament or in your family. It could be with your husband, your wife, hopefully with your son, your daughter, too. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. Okay, so there you have the third condition. Now, the fourth condition is probably the most simple. You have to pray for the Pope and his intentions. So the Our Father, Hail Mary, glory be for the Pope and his intentions. And finally, this is probably the most challenging, but if you're doing the exercises, you will have arrived at this interior disposition of heart. You want to give up sin. In other words, you want to give up sin. Does that mean we're never going to sin again? Probably not, but at least we're going to try not to sin. I don't know about you people, but I go to confession usually every week. I try to go every week. And my intention when I go is that I don't want to commit any mortal sin or any venial sin until I die. That's my intention. Am I able to carry that out? Not always, no. But at least that's my intention. I don't know about you. That's my intention. I don't want to sin, mortal nor venial. So if you do that, you have a plenary indulgence. If you die, you go right to heaven. You like that? Okay, you can receive that, my friends, every day if you like. Or you can apply it to someone that's passed away. Mary's sister passed away, so right away I offered a Mass. I prayed the rosary, the chaplet, we prayed for the Pope. Right away within 2 hours I try to do that for Mary. And I hope and pray that her sister's already in heaven. But I would pray for her until I die. Yeah? My dad passed away 2.5 years ago, and he was a good man. But I'm going to be praying for my dad until I die. My dad could have gone to heaven after the first Mass. You had 8 priests kind of celebrating, tons of people there. My people love my dad, okay? Probably because of his son. No. That's a week in purgatory for me, huh? See how pride seeps in even in the best of moments, huh? Yeah.
Would it work for to do it on behalf of someone who did not believe or not
Good question. Say it a little bit louder so everyone can hear. Repeat your question. Some people didn't hear you. It's a great question. All your questions are really good. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. However, for the plenary indulgence to always be efficacious, it has to be for us. If you do it for yourself and you have those dispositions, you have it. But you apply it to others, you can never really tell, because only God knows their heart. You could, but say, for example, you're offering it for your cousin who is really close to God. I mean, God can go and knock at her heart, but she can say, no, not now, Jesus. But it's not going to be wasted. God will move it in another direction. None of your prayers that are prayed with humility and purity of heart are ever lost. Never. Or say, for example, Mary's sister and my dad are in heaven. Oh, okay, I offered it. Sorry, they're already in heaven. Just throw it in the trash. No, God doesn't do that. God's just going to be, he's going to redirect. Okay, he read, no good prayer is ever wasted. No good prayer is ever wasted. God will maybe see one of your relatives that's maybe been there for 50 years, pull him out right now in heaven. Okay, so you like the idea of the plenary indulgence?
Yes.
I think it's one of the most consoling things. I want to go to heaven right away. I don't know about you. And I believe if we live this, we're constantly trying to live this, there's a good chance that all of us here could die and go right to heaven. If we want to, you know. If you don't want, you want to spend, 100 years in purgatory, you can do that too. But it depends on us. Because God's grace is always super abundant. But we have to open up our hearts to God's grace. In other words, the church is so generous. The church is the mystical body of Christ. It's so generous. But we don't receive these things because of our ignorance. That's why I've made a commitment. Until I die, I'm going to be preaching and teaching as much as I can until I can no longer open up my mouth. I've made a commitment. I'm a teacher. I'm a preacher. And I will preach and teach until I die. Because a lot of people will be lost because of ignorance. Now, look. Or maybe 120 people here, probably none of you have ever heard that except maybe the facilitators, those who go to Perseverance. But now you know. I'm even teaching this to my confirmation kids that are 13 years old. Now that they know, maybe they forget it, but at least I told them. They told their parents. But also by saying no to sin, you're saying yes to the love of God. Got that? Because you're saying no to sin, you're saying no. I don't want that sin. I love God, and I want to love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. This week, we're going backwards a little bit because I had to travel. But this week is a beautiful week where you're going to be meditating upon basically two central ideas. It's the call of the King. And it's the five joyful mysteries. Okay? It's the call of the King and the five joyful mysteries. Okay, with respect to the five joyful mysteries, the grace that you're going to be begging for is heartwarming, to say the least. You're going to be begging for the grace of intimate knowledge of Jesus made man so that we love Him more ardently and we follow Him more closely. Want me to repeat that? Okay. We're begging for the grace of intimate knowledge of Jesus, that we love Him more ardently and we follow Him more closely. If you live that out, when you die, I would be ready to canonize you. That's the essence of Catholicism. We want to know Christ. We want to love Him with all of our being. But we want to be willing to follow Him. Not only follow him, we want to bring other people to him. That's the second part of our reflection today. Knowledge of God, and I think there's a certain logical sequence. Knowledge generates love. Love generates a willingness to follow. Following will generate a desire to share that gift with others. And then no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Transformation in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's a dynamic. Knowledge, love, following, then sharing and transformation. Ignatius only gives the first three, but I added the other two. Okay, hopefully he'll forgive me. Or he'll maybe applaud me. Okay? Thank you for adding my program, Father Broom. You're welcome, Ignatius. So that you're going to be doing, you're going to be going through the Joyful Mysteries. By the way, tomorrow is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
February is
28. Are you contradicting me? I'm gonna hold my turf. Tomorrow is my baptismal date. So it's my spiritual birthday, right? It happens to be March 25th, which is the Annunciation. Wow. That's why I'm an Oblate of Mary, because I was consecrated on the day of the Annunciation. You know, you got your daughter here. When I was one day old, I had my arms open, and my mom said, he's going to be a priest.
Yep. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yep. What a prophecy, huh?
Yeah.
I was just a day, and she saw, here my arms are like this. Well, this little guy, he's going to be a priest. It took 30 years, but... Yeah. Mothers have these intuitions, right? So these are beautiful mysteries, and you know, you meditate upon these, you're going to see in the sorrowful mysteries, you're going to find some sufferings. So related to Lent, the visitation, Mary has to travel a long way, the birth. I mean, Jesus is born in the stable of Bethlehem, the presentation is the prophecy of Simeon, the first sword of sorrow of Mary. The finding of the child Jesus in the temple. Jesus lost for 3 days. So there's an element of suffering in these joyful mysteries. It's kind of like a rose. You got this. You got the thorn, but then you got the rose blossoming from the thorn. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I'm not going to expound upon that because the explanation and the notes are pretty detailed. So I'd like to focus more on what you're going to be doing the first and second day. And it's called the call of the king. The call of the earthly king, so that we can follow the eternal king. The call of the king. Now the grace we're going to be begging for is grace to not to be deaf to the call of the king. Did you hear me? Okay. Okay, so... Got that?
Yes.
Grace not to be deaf to the call of the king. And I think we all suffer from spiritual deafness at times. I call it selective hearing. We want to hear what we want to hear. We have to pray for the grace to attune our ears, our spiritual ears, so that we can hear the call of the king. And sometimes we don't hear correctly. Maybe you heard the story, there was a couple, they were married for 70 years. And they lived in the deep south. And the old lady had, they were sitting in front of the fire, a very cold winter day. And the old guy waxed both romantic and eloquent. And he said to his wife, Mabel, as they say in the South, Mabel, you've been tried and true all these years. She said, what? So it's a little bit like, Mabel, you've been tried and true all these years. What? Mabel, you've been tried and true all these years. And she said, and I'm tired of you too. Okay. So at times you don't hear properly, right? It's kind of garbled spiritually. We don't hear with the correctness of hearing. So pray for the grace to not to be deaf to the call of the King. Now this is divided into two parts. Call of the earthly King so that we can follow the eternal King. So the experts on this contemplation, if you've ever done reading on this contemplation, experts will often start off with challenge you to try to call to mind some type of earthly king or leader that you really admired on a human level. Any history buffs here? Charlemagne was a pretty important figure back many, many years ago, called Carlo Magno, Charles the Great. Or Napoleon Bonaparte, maybe heard of him. Well, you know, whether we like him or not, at 26 he was the most powerful military leader in the world, right? Yeah. Not to say that these individuals were great saints, but they had military prowess that we admire. Indian people would admire Mahatma Gandhi, a man with a lot of incredible gifts, right? A lot of incredible gifts. Now we have a lot of immigrants here, and most of you are American citizens, most of you. I admire very much George Washington. Yeah. You've heard of him. George Washington he's the father of our country. And if you read stories, and a very noble individual, very noble. No? We wouldn't be here if it weren't for George Washington, still be under the dominion of the Brits, right? So his nobility, you know, maybe seen pictures of him kneeling in the snow in Valley Forge in Delaware, praying that he'd be able to win the battle, which we should not have won. But if you're not really impressed so much by these military leaders, okay, how about someone like John Paul II? Do you like him? Or maybe, maybe Mother Teresa, how about her? Or how about Teresa of Avila? Or Catherine of Siena? Yes, I admire, this is my room basically where I teach, I admire John Bosco, I love St. John Bosco. What a great saint. So we would be willing to follow these extraordinary charismatic leaders, we would be. And there, the temporal king, so the temporal king has a desire to conquer the world and he's inviting others to follow him. And if he wins the battle, he will share the victory with those who follow him. Ignatius asked this question. How many of you would follow a temporal king that's going to win the battle? I would, wouldn't you? I would follow him. Then he's going to share the booty. He's going to be sharing with you what he wins. So let's move from the temporal king to the eternal king. The eternal king is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His purpose is to conquer not the physical world, but his purpose is to conquer souls, to win souls for heaven. How many of you would like to follow Jesus Christ, the eternal king? I'm seeing almost all of your hands. The temporal king is just for temporal affairs. The eternal king is to follow Jesus Christ in the most noble enterprise, which is the noble enterprise of working with Christ to save immortal souls. To save immortal souls. That's your work. So that being said, if you really love God, and you should love what God loves. What God loves is the salvation of immortal souls. So if we're really doing, if we really don't love what God loves, we probably really don't love God. We should love what God loves. God loves the salvation of immortal souls. You know, one soul, Thomas Aquinas says, is worth more than the whole created universe. One soul is worth more than the whole created universe. That's Thomas Aquinas. Soul of this guy is worth more than the whole created universe. Your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. That's not enough. It's proved by this. St. Peter says you are not redeemed by the blood of calves. You have not been bought back by gold and silver. You have been saved by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You are saved by the blood of Christ. That's Good Friday. Now, if you're really imbued with an understanding of that, you're going to be willing to really work with Christ, sacrifice yourself for Christ, suffer with Christ, give yourself to Christ in this most noble enterprise to save as many souls as possible. Now, let me give you three examples in the lives of the saints. Ever hear of Padre Pio?
Yes.
How could any man live with his stigmata for 50 years? The stigmata. It was 50 years, and then God said it would be taken away, and then shortly after that he died. So in 1918, praying in front of the crucifix, he had his hands transpierced, his feet transpierced, and his side transpierced, and he had it for 50 years. And it would always bleed during the whole time of Lent and every Friday. On one occasion someone said, "Does it hurt?" He said, "It's not a Christmas decoration." He was sometimes sarcastic when you had dumb questions, no? I mean, of course it hurt. Why? Because he loved God and for the salvation of souls. For love of God and for the salvation of souls. But let's take another example. The Curé of Ars. Mm-hmm. You ever hear of him?
Yes.
St. John Vianney. He spent close to 15 hours every day in the confessional for close to 45 years. I've spent sometimes 15 hours in the confessional in one day, not too often, no? That's a long time. So I'd imagine hearing problems, serious problems, for 15 hours, no? but not for one day, but for 45 years. Why? There's nothing that could explain that except love of God and the salvation of souls. I'm a priest and I spend time in confessional work. It's hard work. Hey, don't kid yourself. It's hard work. 15 hours. No? And he had problems with his health and other things too. And he wasn't sitting in a comfortable America confessional, no? He was sitting in a little box that was like a freezer in the winter and it was like an oven in the summer. He did it because of love of God. You love God, you love what God loves. Salvation of souls. Third example. I've already preached two Spanish homilies on this. Some of you have gone to Mass already?
Yes.
Now, we as priests, there's usually a lot of things we can choose. In my meditation, from the Gospel where Jesus says, if you don't do penance, you're going to perish. Jesus said that three times in the Gospel today. So when I was meditating in the morning, I thought, well, I did my meditation at 5 o'clock because I had the 6:15 Mass. Is sacrifice. I've got an example. Our Lady Fatima and Little Jacinto. Have any of you ever heard of Our Lady Fatima?
Yes.
Do you know anything about the little children?
Yes.
Jacinta Marto, after the vision of hell, which you meditated upon a couple weeks ago, after the vision of hell, this little girl carried out sacrifices that make us blush with shame because we compare ourselves to her. We almost want to hang our head in shame. At least I do. Maybe you're a great penitent, but incredible what she did. The little girl was 6 or 7 years old, couldn't even read and write. She was a little shepherd girl. But this is motivated by love of God. You know really what salvation of souls is? We don't want people to go to hell, if I can be explicit. Okay? That's what it is. We don't want souls to go to hell. And she saw this graphic vision of hell, the July 13th vision, and she was so moved by that that she talked to Lucia and says, isn't it over? No, it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Are they going to get out? They're never going to get out. Read her life. She was canonized a year and a half ago, the youngest saints to be canonized in the Catholic Church. She and her brother were canonized together by Pope Francis in 2017, the 100th anniversary of the apparition. So I'm going to go through her sacrifices, and this will hopefully motivate us to really want to be soldiers for Christ, to work with the Lord, to save souls. Do any of you have a favorite food?
Yeah.
Do you? No offense to any Mexicans or Vietnamese or whatever. I like Italian food. And that's my... It's just, I like it. I live in Italy. I like that, no? Her favorite food was the luscious grapes of the hillsides of Portugal. Big, sweet grapes. She loved that. You know what she did? No, I'm going to eat bitter berries and nuts. What do you think? No, hard.
Yes.
You probably have your favorite food, right? You're starting to think you're not going to eat your favorite food. You really admire this little girl. And she's doing it out of love. Love for God and the salvation of souls. You know, my friends, if we have the love of God, we can do anything. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if we have the love of God, we can do anything because it's the love of God and His grace. As St. Paul says, the charity of God compels us. Charity of Christ compels us, pushes us on. How about this? I think we all like In the United States, we like comfortable clothing, right? Yeah. We like to be comfy. Comfy, huh?
Yeah.
Little girl. And the other two also, you know what they did? They put a rope around their waist, but a rope that was frayed, which you kind of dig into their little waists, which caused them discomfort the whole day. Then a lady said, well, take it off at night so you can sleep. I thought about why did she give up those grapes? How many people are gluttonous today? Why that? Why the rope around her waist? Chastity, right? And that kind of hurt. Chastity is sin of the flesh, right? Sin whether it was there's, you know, unlawful pleasure that's consented to. Little kids experiencing that rope digging into their little bodies. And it's not masochism, it's love. A love, a willingness to suffer for the loved one. That's what love is. Willingness to suffer for the loved one. What else? 1916, the angel appeared and taught them prayers called the angel prayer, the prayer of pardon. And they would bow down to the ground. My God, I believe in you. I love you. I adore you. I worship you. I beg pardon for those who do not love you, do not adore you, do not worship. O Jesus, praise in the blessed sacrament, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity in reparation for all the sins against your body, blood, soul, and divinity. So they learned the prayers that the angels taught them, and they would bow down for hours with their foreheads on the ground and repeat that prayer over and over again. Love of God. Salvation of souls. Yeah. What more? Their parents said that they had to pray the rosary. So after they finished tending the sheep and after their lunch, they would pull out their rosaries and they would pray their rosary. They would obey their parents. But this is how they prayed the rosary. Are you listening?
Yes.
Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 glory. Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 Gloria. Our Father, Hail Mary. So they would pray the rosary and then they go off and play. After the vision of hell, they prayed not only the whole rosary, but many rosaries. Many rosaries. Why? Because of love of God and the salvation of souls. Right, Libby? Yeah. Love of God and salvation of souls. What else? I mean, these are little kids, 7 years old, couldn't even read and write. So you who have children and grandchildren, your children and they're capable of heroic virtue if you got good parents. If you got good parents, little children can make heroic acts. But if the parents don't even know what this is, obviously the kids are going to be selfish little kids, right? As most are today. Most are. What else? Okay, Jacinta, she liked to dance. It wasn't like kind of those cantinas of L.A., you know, that night. Risque, kind of sensual dance. No, a little dancing for little kids, innocent dancing. You know? She liked it. Any psychologist here, she was not an introvert. She was an extrovert. She was very expansive. She was a socialite. She liked to laugh. She liked to dance. She liked to be with people. Her brother was the exact opposite. He was a born contemplative. But that was difficult for her. Think about the activity you like to do better. You like those video games no more in your life, huh? That'd be tough if you were like the video games, huh? Okay, what more? This is one act that they did that impressed me most. They're out in the fields in the middle of the summer. They were dying of thirst. And Lucia couldn't put up with it anymore, so she goes to one of the neighboring house is, she knocks on the door and says, can you give us some water? So the lady says, of course, and they give them a pitcher of fresh, cold water. So they bring it back to Jacinta and Francisco, and Jacinta says, Lucia, why don't you pour that water into the ground so we can suffer thirst for love of God and the salvation of souls? Wow. Now, I've played baseball under the hot sun. Mm-hmm. I've cut grass in New York and New Jersey. It's not like L.A. New York and New Jersey can be very humid and hot. Hey, easier said than done. That's hard. These kids are 6, 7, 8 years old. Why? Because of love of God. You love God? You love what God loves? Salvation of souls. Then in the same moment, Jacinta had a headache. And she could hear the crickets. You ever hear those crickets in the field? They're making a lot of noise. And she got this splitting headache. She starts to complain. And Francisco says, hey, don't complain. Offer up your headache to God to save souls. Ah, I forgot about that. I'll do that too. I'll do that too. So everything... Once Lucia was asked, what can we offer up? And Lucia said, offer up everything as a sacrifice to God. So as Paul says, whether you eat or drink, do everything for the honor and glory of God. Offer up everything. Offer up everything. Okay, so if you want to be a successful apostle of Christ, I'm going to make three suggestions. If you want to be a successful apostle of Christ, you want to save souls, I think there are three key elements. Number one is that you have to go deeper and deeper in your prayer life. That is to say, once you finish this program, it's a 10-week program, you're not going to say, ah, okay, I finished that program, I'm going to go back to being a normal person now, okay? Okay? I'm going to place the certificate on my wall and just go back to be a nice, normal person. People are calling me a religious fanatic. No, no. Let them call you that, okay? No, you got the purpose of 10 weeks is psychological. If you do 10 weeks, you've got a habit. To form a good habit, you have to have time. Not sporadic or intermittent, but it's something you've established good habit. A bad habit is called a vice. A good habit is called a virtue. 10 weeks, if you're doing it faithfully, you got the habit. Then you got to persevere with spiritual direction, and you got to battle, but persevere until you die. So after you finish this program, you're going to try to go deeper in your prayer life. You hear me? You know, it's easy to slide into mediocrity. It is. It's easy to slide into most people are mediocre. Okay? Except professional athletes. They can't, you know, they drop to minor leagues, huh? You know, professionals have to live up to their calling, no? Catholics can become mediocre, huh? Ni fu ni fa ni chicha ni eliminada, say in Spanish, huh? Okay? So you got to persevere in your prayer life. Keep growing. Second is what I just said for 15, 20 minutes. You have to live a life of penance.
Yep.
Live a life of penance means we got to carry our cross. We have to learn how to say no to ourselves. We have to live an ascetical life so that we can live the mystical life. Ascetical means life of sacrifice. Okay, lastly, and this is indispensable too, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. And it's this. You have to keep studying your Catholic faith. How are you going to defend the Church's position on abortion if you've never studied the issue? How are you going to defend the Church's position on homosexuality if you never studied the issue? How can you defend the church's position on contraception? You've never read Humana Vitae or listened to Janet Smith. You've never studied the issue. How are you going to teach anyone how to meditate or do contemplative prayer if you never study the issue? How are you going to defend the catechism of the Catholic Church if you just it's just collected dust the past 25 and a half years? No, you got to read it, huh? And what's interesting is, in this country, professionals, which would be doctors, some of you are doctors or nurses or teachers, engineers, or they all have to work on what's called permanent formation. Remember years ago I was visiting one of my siblings, who happens to be a doctor, he happens to be a orthopedic surgeon in Orlando. And remember, he's already in 4 days. He'll be 64. So I'm thinking of when he's 64 to put in the background the Beatles song "When I'm 64." Remember that one? When I visited, he had to pass another test. The guy's already now in his mid-60s. And he's a graduate from Dartmouth and summa cum laude and Columbia. In other words, they're called the Ivy League schools. You've maybe heard of them? Why would someone why does he have to study? He makes a mistake. $30,000 lawsuit against him. One mistake, yeah. So shouldn't we be professional Catholics? Yes. Amen? Shouldn't we be professional Catholics?
Yes.
So professionals in this country, you don't live up to par, like a doctor, you got to pay the consequences. So we should learn our Catholic faith. Learn the Catholic faith. And then we have to beg for zeal. Do you know what zeal means? Apostolic zeal? What does that mean? You know what it is, but you can't explain. Okay, yeah, I see. Zeal means you really have that passion, desire to save as many souls as possible. Willing to sacrifice for this. This is somewhat embarrassing and humiliating, but let me tell you this story. For many years, I've been here for many years in Hawaiian Gardens, St. Peter Chanel. I walked the streets of Hawaiian Gardens, knocking on doors. So I would go with a missionary group. I went for many, many years. I haven't the past few years because I've been so busy with these works. But I probably visited most of the homes in Hawaiian Gardens at least 4 times. No? And I always go with a group of missionaries, and my greatest fear is you have a lot of pit bulls. So I always go with a group of these women missionaries, and I was brought up in what's called English etiquette. I let them go first. And then it's cool. You have to be caballero, right? No, yeah. You got to be a gentleman, right? Well, women first, right? Check out if the coast is clear, then they'll follow afterward. I would go first with fear and trembling, but in one occasion, I bumped into these two young men, maybe in their mid-20s, and they had white shirts on, ties.
Yeah.
They were blonde, blue eyes, about 6'2". Typical Filipinos, right? No. No, they're Mormons from Salt Lake City, no? You know what impressed me most? Is I started to talk with them a little bit, and they spoke a perfect Spanish, better than the Mexicans. Wow! These guys were, like, where on earth? I mean, they're brought up and raised here in this country, probably in Salt Lake City or some American city. How could they do that? They said, how did you guys learn the Spanish? Because I admire your Spanish. They said, well, we went to Guatemala or Argentina to learn Spanish, to come back to L.A. to convert the Mexicans to our Mormon faith. What zeal? No? What apostolic zeal? That they're willing to make that huge sacrifice for it's a wrong religion too. What are we willing to sacrifice to save souls for Christ? Yeah. So they have the fullness of error as well as the Jehovah's Witnesses, but they got zeal. We've got the fullness of the truth, but we're asleep.
Yes, sir.
Right? We got the fullness of the truth, but we're asleep. The Catholic Church is a sleeping giant. 1.2 billion. That's a lot, isn't it? It's a sleeping giant that has to be awakened. That's why I got the exercise to wake up the sleeping giant in the exercises. So, what are you going to do to save souls? John Paul II, the two greatest missionaries last century, were John Paul II and Mother Teresa. Amen?
Amen.
John Paul II wrote a missionary document. It's called Missio Redentoris, The Mission of the Redeemer. In which he said that we're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to work in the call of the King from our baptism. We're all called to be missionaries from our baptism. But he said this, where is the biggest mission territory today? You know, when I was a kid, John, I thought it was Africa. I was thinking when I was a kid, I'm going to become a missionary in Africa to convert those Africans. Now it's Africa that's coming here to convert us.
Yep.
And there's Nigerian priests, very fervent, on fire with the love of God, coming. And they're doing a lot of missionary work. But the Pope says that the biggest mission territory would be Manila, New York City, Los Angeles, Buenos Aires, Santiago, Chile, Paris, Rome. In other words, the biggest mission territory are the big cities. Why? Because you've got so many people here. Do you know the biggest diocese in the United States? Los Angeles. This is the biggest diocese in the country. Surprise? L.A., by far, New York is second, Chicago is probably third, and probably Philadelphia is fourth, but this is by far. We've got L.A.'s divided into six different regions. We're in the San Pedro region, which is about 1-2 million just in this region. This is the San Pedro region. You got San Gabriel, you got San Fernando, you got L.A., these are different. All of them could be dioceses. So I really believe, my friends, this is the place to be. I personally believe this is the best place to be. I don't know, my superior could transfer me, but this is the place where I want to work. In the meeting with the bishop, there was a man that came from New York giving a talk to the priest and said, L.A. is probably the most important diocese in the whole world. Because you got Hollywood. Why was Bishop Barron sent to, you know, St. Barbara? Because he's a communicator. This is the biggest, maybe most important diocese in the whole world. It's the center of communication with New York City. So I really believe you people, you're in the best place in the world. Beg for the grace to know how you can bring many souls to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And beg for apostolic creativity. You hear that?
Yes.
I'll close with an example. In my life, I'm always creating new programs. Okay. One gift is I have the ability, a very creative in creating new programs. I've created this program. And many others. I think that this is probably about the best, with the Marian consecration, which is very important too. But this thought occurred to me related to the call of the king. Well, a lot of our people, they're living together. A lot. Given we have a lot of Hispanics here, they're living together. What can I do to get these people married in the church? I got it. Our Lady Guadalupe, I know what I'll do. I will offer them a group wedding on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe. Also, I'll offer it free of charge. Then, I have these Mexicans, mariachi, yeah, mariachi. Mariachi. That's called mariachi, huh? And I'll invite the bishop. Wow, the bishop's come. Oh, we're important. And then they're going to complain that they want the pechanga la fiestita. Okay? So what I'll do is, after the mass in the big church, I'll turn the old church into a banquet hall and I'll give them a free meal. Oh! I got 50 couples to sign up in group weddings. It's called apostolic creativity.
Wow.
Do all you can get to know the culture. I know the Mexicans. They like that type of stuff, okay? Yeah, I'll become a Mexican if they want, okay? No, as we say in New York, I put myself in my head and spit out wooden nickels to save souls, yeah? Anything to save souls. So all of you have many opportunities to save souls. Let's ask the Blessed Mother for the grace to love God by working to save souls. Amen.
Amen. Come.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and is now,
and now shall for me, the world without end. Amen.
God bless. Have a great week, and I'll be praying for you.
Grupo de San Jose today?
No.
Okay, so I'll be at 7 o'clock next week.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Father.